You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Look, it's not the end of the road if we lose tonight, but you can see the end of the road from there. Yeah, it's about as much a must-win, and you know me, I don't, until it's elimination time, you know, I'm not one to call things a must-win, but this is as close to a must-win as, you know, I've probably had in a regular season.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Stan Van Gundy did not hide one bit about what last night's game against the Heat meant. And so given the result, a one-point loss, I think we can safely say where he thinks the Pistons stand in the playoff race. The Pistons are not eliminated, not officially. They're still 2.5 games out with 7 to go. But the odds are very, very strongly against it. No tiebreaker now against Miami. Still have the Bulls lingering in between. If they get hot, just the Pistons getting hot and the Heat sinking, that won't be enough. But there's little evidence to believe that the Heat will go quietly. They've been so much better lately. They were so tenacious against the Pistons. A Pistons team that, quite honestly, is more talented than Miami. Miami has Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, and a bunch of guys who Eric Spoelstra has done an amazing job with. And that could not have been more true and more frustrating for the Pistons than down the stretch. Let's just get this out of the way. The gory details of how this one ended. The Pistons were up 4 with 30 seconds left. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hit a huge three-pointer. Ish Smith followed up with a big jumper. The Pistons were up 4 with 30 seconds left. That's a two-possession game with 30 seconds left. It really seemed that despite their lackadaisicalness for so much of the game, the Pistons were going to pull this out, this huge win to keep them right in the thick of the playoff race. And then such a collapse. First, Stanley Johnson, defending the inbound pass, stepped over the sideline. That got him a technical foul. Stan Van Gundy, after the game, didn't outright criticize the call. He didn't say anything that should get him fined by the league. But boy, oh boy, did he make his feelings clear with the subtext.
You know, you might want to get a film clip of that because you won't see that call in the last minute of the game for about another 5 or 6 years, whether it happens or not. So you might want to get a film clip, save it for the archives.
And then, of course, Dragic hit the technical free throw and then scored to bring the Heat within one. The Pistons didn't play the tightest defense because they didn't want to foul. That was sort of understandable. But then things just went worse from there. Stanley Johnson got trapped. The Heat tied him up, forcing a jump ball. Stanley Johnson versus James Johnson. James Johnson won that jump ball, but KCP, who looked like he was going to be the hero once again, almost got a steal, fell out of bounds. Just real nifty job of picking Dragic his pocket. Just couldn't stay in bounds. A bad break for the Pistons. Maybe there was a little contact. I don't think he got pushed out of bounds, but it was at least something worth looking at. But no call. So the Heat get the ball on their final possession. Miami got up 3 shots. The final one, of course, by now you know, Hassan Whiteside, the game-winning tip-in. It was just relentless effort by the Heat that the Pistons couldn't match. Story of the game, story of the Pistons season. In that situation, the Pistons, to me, did not look adequately prepared to crash the glass. You know, in the final seconds when a team is down 1, it's not going to be the typical spacing. It's not going to be any players hanging back to prevent transition opportunities for Detroit. Every Heat player is going to crash the glass as hard as they can. And yes, all 5 Pistons got around the rim, got around the paint, but they didn't look prepared for the physical battle of going for that rebound. Ish Smith got pushed down. Maybe it was a foul. I don't think so. I think it was more just him not being the biggest guy and ready for all the contact. As he got pushed down, KCP sort of had to hop to jump over him. That's what let Dragic get that first offensive rebound. He got another shot up that missed. And then Hassan Whiteside went over Drummond. Drummond is supposed to be such a good rebounder, and he is. He didn't deliver on this play. Now, maybe this is some big failing on Andre Drummond's part. Maybe it was just, hey, you're not going to get every rebound, and the one he happened to not get came at the worst possible time. But I don't know. It was late in the game. There have been issues with Drummond's energy at different points. Is he in the best condition? Was his jumping, was his physicality, was it just waned just enough where Whiteside could go over to get that rebound, get that tip in the final second? This was a crushing loss, and there are going to be a lot of what-ifs afterward. Because this is probably the one that ends the Pistons season. Not definite, still technically alive in the race. But this is the one that basically comes close to ending it. It's crushing. It's debilitating. The Pistons would have gone from somewhere around a 40-ish percent chance to being around, you know, somewhere around a coin flip, to now it's single digits. Single digit percent chance of making the playoffs. It would take a historic collapse and a historic run by the Heat and Pistons, respectively, and the Bulls not to do anything crazy for Detroit to get back into this. So many what-ifs from this game. And Stan Van Gundy didn't really hide from that within the game. Within the game, once the ball was tipped, the strategy he could have done, he didn't hide from that. He kicked himself a lot throughout his post-game press conference. He was pretty despondent, talking about what he could have done better. One thing he brought up in particular, when Stanley Johnson got the ball and got trapped and got tied up, why was he in the game? Now, personally, I was wondering a little more why Andre Drummond was in the game at that moment. Because the Heat, most teams at least, would be intentionally fouling. Now you have somebody out there who's just not at all a threat to get the ball. You can't put the ball in Andre Drummond's hand in that situation. You cannot let any chance of Andre Drummond going to the line in that situation. And the Heat know that. Everybody knows that. So you have somebody in the game who can't really help you. Stanley Johnson was trapped. He couldn't look to Andre Drummond. As the Pistons were bringing the ball up before Johnson got trapped, they couldn't look to Andre Drummond. It was a weird decision to me to have Andre Drummond in, but Van Gundy brought up, why was Stanley Johnson in? That's Johnson, who's a young player, erratic as a ball handler, as a passer, not the best free throw shooter. Why was he in the game? And Van Gundy brought that up on his own.
Stanley got tied up. That's my fault. That whole thing's my fault. I mean, we should have just advanced the ball, and I should have put Benno in the game for Stanley at that point. That was my fault. We would have won the game if I would have done a better job.
What did Ish Smith think of Stan Van Gundy taking the blame on himself for this loss?
Nah, that's sweet of Coach. You know, that's not usually some words you use when you talk about Coach. But that was nice of him, but, you know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, Coach goes to bat for us. He talks about, and he really beats himself up about some of the adjustments he should have made. That's what makes him a great coach. Some of the adjustments he should have made, some of the things he should have made. But at the end of the day, he prepares us. He prepares us better than anybody in the league. And when we go out there, we got to execute.
I mean, that's nice that everybody's sort of taking responsibility on themselves. This is what good teams do. That speaks to a good culture. But I want to go the other way with it. Once again, here is the big issue. Everybody's favorite issue, especially Stan Van Gundy's, as you're going to hear, Reggie Jackson didn't play again. The Pistons have not said whether he'll play again this season. Again, my guess is no. That was my guess yesterday. Nothing today obviously changed that. As the season is slipping out of meaningfulness, as the chances of reaching the playoffs become extremely long, I just don't see a way they put Reggie Jackson back in. They just seem to be ready to shut him down. But I asked Stan Van Gundy after the game whether this loss makes it more likely, less likely, or has no effect on whether Jackson returns.
Well, one of the things I think has just sort of worn him down and worn us down is it is the year of Reggie. That's all we talk about every day. You know, do you like the way he's playing? First he was injured. When's he coming back? Do you like the way he's playing? Do you need to make a change? Now is he going to play? I mean, it's all we talk about. You know, we lost a really tough basketball game tonight. He wasn't playing. That's not what we need to talk about right now.
Boo-hoo. Seriously, boo-hoo. Too many questions about Reggie Jackson? That's what's worn you down? That's weak. That's mentally weak. And I don't think that's just Van Gundy. I think it's everybody. But that starts from the top, and he's the top. He hasn't hidden from that. that you can't handle these questions about Reggie Jackson, that's wearing you down, wearing him down? No wonder this team collapsed down the stretch. No wonder this team is so fragile. This is not a mentally sharp team. This is not a mentally strong team that fights and claws for everything like the Heat do. There's a marked difference between the Heat and the Pistons. You could see that during this game. The Pistons bench got Detroit back into it. They played with a lot of hustle. They got the crowd into it. They got momentum. And then the starters came in and lived off that for a while and matched it. And that's how the Pistons got back into it. They spent too much of this game playing listlessly. Yeah, we're going to talk about the end. We did for a while because that's interesting. But this game wasn't lost at the end. The Pistons overall, even those final 30 seconds included, were pretty good down the stretch. They had to overcome a decent-sized deficit because they just played so disinterested basketball. It wasn't lazy. Definitely wasn't lazy. It wasn't, you know, something super embarrassing. But for a team with their playoff lives on the line, there wasn't all-out hustle. Tobias Harris was probably the lone exception among the top players. He played well. He was ready to go. He came out with energy and focus and did the right things. But for the most part, this team didn't. They were just kind of going through the motions, which is not necessarily the worst thing overall. I don't mean going through the motions as in like as little energy as possible. I mean going through the motions as in the standard amount of energy and focus. But that's it. The Heat are playing with something extra. That's how they've climbed back into this playoff race. That's why they're eighth in the East. The Pistons haven't shown that. The Pistons are fragile. And this is who they are. And I'm starting to have concerns whether this is who they're going to be next year. They've got to get Reggie Jackson healthy. You do that, everything could look different. But to complain about getting Reggie Jackson questions, and I know Van Gundy isn't talking about just the media. He's talked about at times, too, in meetings with coaches, that all the focus is on Reggie Jackson. So this is not just a media issue. This is about the entire narrative of this team, but it's also the correct narrative. I know I've joked about it on this podcast if you've been listening throughout the season. Well, here we go. We got to talk about the point guard again. We got to talk about Reggie Jackson because it's so defining for what this team is this year. We haven't been able to escape it. There have only been a couple shows without any Reggie Jackson mention because he is so important. I don't necessarily love talking about Reggie Jackson every day. I wish we had a fresher new storyline. It'd be a better show. It'd be more interesting for me to talk about. I think it'd be more interesting for you to listen to. But he is so important to this team. What this team is doing in the present, what this team will do in the future. And for his part, Reggie Jackson, look at, again, we can go back to the team saying all the right things. Reggie Jackson spoke after the game and said all the right things.
This season at times felt good and I could get there at other times. Felt like I was a shell of myself at times. I could see the gap and just felt like I couldn't get there at times. I couldn't explode there. Couldn't get there seemingly as quick. It's almost like guys are popping out of nowhere when they get back in front of the ball and get in front of me. So it didn't feel like I was quite the same. And that's something the organization and the team saw. And I think that they want to take care of. So myself, like I said, it was a wall that I kept hitting, and it was one that I was going to find a way to run through. So I was going to continue to go out there and play as hard as I can and find a way to lead my team to the best of my ability and try to get us to the playoff. That's what we're compensated for, and that's what we're paid for as players, is to go out there and have a warrior mentality. I want to run through the wall each and every day and find a way to get better. So definitely like to lead my troops and play. But organization, coach, also they have a job as well, and they're compensated and they're paid to do their job. So they definitely felt like it was best when they told me for me some rest, and I trust in them. I trust in their decision. And whenever I'm allowed to play again, I'm definitely going to cherish each and every moment on the court and play like it's my last.
It is a little surprising to hear Reggie Jackson and Stan Van Gundy before him talk so openly about how Reggie Jackson's only at 80% or so. After spending most of the year saying nothing's wrong, everything's fine, he's physically healthy. And then all of a sudden it goes to, boom, he's deactivated. He's not even good enough to play over Beno Udra. That's a pretty quick and sudden fall. I'm not sure exactly what to make of it. It definitely makes it feel like, rightly or wrongly, it makes it feel like there's something more to this, that it's bigger than everybody's letting on. But I don't know. It's a weird thing. But guess what? We'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure we'll talk more about Reggie Jackson. We do every day. We don't get tired of it. Well, we might get a little tired of it, but we'll plug through. We'll show the perseverance at Locked On Pistons that maybe this Pistons team doesn't have. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.